Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We love you, Jesus. What a beautiful spirit is here in the house of the Lord. Amen. David said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Praise God. It feels good to be in God's house. A little later on in that same chapter, he said, when thou saidest unto me, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And some people, I heard a preacher, a very powerful preacher one time, preach on that topic, and he brought out something that I thought was amazing. He said, I always wondered what it meant to seek the face of the Lord. He said, until my grandbaby crawled up in my lap one day and was playing, and we were fiddling around, and he was grabbing my hands and pulling on my hair, and then he just reached his hands up and he grabbed a hold of both sides of my face and said, Papa, look at me. Papa, look at me. And when he said, seek ye my face, he said, I believe that's what he meant. I'm looking for the face of my Heavenly Father. I want his attention. I want to commune with him. I want to draw close to him. I'm seeking the face of God. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be with you here in Birmingham this morning. And it's a pleasure and a privilege to be here with Pastor Sutton and his family. I'm always thrilled to be here. There's a wonderful spirit here in Birmingham. There's a liberty in the Holy Ghost. From the moment the first note is hit on the piano, something happens in the spirit world. I think things are going on before the first note's hit on the piano. There's something about the Suttonites that bring good things. Amen. And it's great to be with you here this morning. My wife and my oldest son are not well. And so it's me and Ben's holding down the fort. So he came to support Dad as we charge into this thing. Praise God. Amen. Are you ready for the Word of God? Amen. Well, if you've got a Bible, I'll have you turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. And I am looking forward to today. I'm looking forward to this week. I'm looking forward to fellowship. I'm looking forward to the preached word of God. I'm looking forward to another crack at beating the young men of this church in basketball. It is a goal that I have set, a life achievement that I hope to one day accomplish. Amen. I'm getting older. They're getting stronger. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but one can hope. Praise God. I'm also looking forward to the humility that God will bestow upon me when I'm finished. It's a blessing, you see. It's a blessing. Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading at verse 15. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. Paul said, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. I want to preach to you this message, a very, very simple idea, but one that I think is extremely relevant. It is probably the most important. It is the most important message you'll ever hear in your life. I want to preach to you about the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. I want to be saved more than anything else. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for his spirit, for his grace that we feel here right now. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The devil hates the gospel. He hates God's message of salvation. And with good cause. It is the only message that can take a human being and extract them from the muck and the mire of this world. When he showed Jacob in the middle of his midnight dream a ladder that stretched from earth to heaven, he was telling him, I am making a way. You're trapped down there right now. You have no hope. Job prayed and he said, oh, that one would mediate between God and I. That one would put his hand upon both of us. There is no, he used the word daysman. It means an umpire. It means one to go between. There is none. But when we got to Jacob, Jesus was saying, I'm the one. I'm not just going to build a ladder. That ladder is actually me. Because I'm not just God, I'm the way. And you're going to climb up into my purpose. You're going to climb up into my salvation. I'm not going to leave you down there. It prompted David to say prophetically, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, and neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption, but thou wilt show me the path or the way or the ladder of life. Amen. In thy presence, O Lord, is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. In other words, I'm going to get you out of there. It's the gospel. It's the most powerful message in the world. There is no message more powerful than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the devil devises many things to distract from the gospel. It would make the devil very happy this morning to talk you into leaving the gospel ambiguous, to leave it vague, to leave it out there in the ether and say, well, it's some kind of a thing. I guess I have the gospel. There is no guessing when it comes to the most important commodity that this world has ever known. There are people that protect their money by putting it in bank accounts, by sticking it in an old shoe, sticking it under the mattress, or putting it in a Swiss protected account. But when it comes to their soul, they deal very casually with it. When it comes to the greatest commodity the world has ever known, your soul, and the soul of your spouse, the soul of your parents, the souls of your children, we're not here to leave anything to chance. Amen. I'm not playing Russian roulette with my soul. I'm not handling my soul casually. I have come to set my house in order. I have come to know that I am saved, not to wonder or to guess or to surmise, but I'm here to know that I have been brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. God is a particular God. He's a specific God. And when he brings his salvation, he doesn't leave it vague. He doesn't leave it in the land of maybe. He doesn't leave it in the land of possibly, but he spells it out very plainly. He did in the Old Testament when he told Noah, he said, I'm going to make a salvation for you. And then he gave him the dimensions of that salvation. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He said, you're going to build it this tall. And you're going to build it, and it's going to be this long. And it's going to be this wide. And these are the dimensions of it. Hallelujah. And you're going to pitch it on the outside. Amen. And you're going to make it out of this kind of wood. Not another kind of wood, but a very particular kind of wood. Amen. And when you get done pitching it on the outside, you're going to pitch it on the inside, because your salvation needs to be watertight. You don't want this thing falling apart halfway there. You don't want this thing falling apart in the storm. You don't want this thing falling apart halfway to where you're going, but you want it to be strong. You want it to be steadfast. You want to get to the other side. You don't want it breaking apart halfway. Oh, hallelujah. So I'm going to give you specific instructions for a specific salvation. Amen. He gives us a specific salvation this morning. When he told Moses how to build the Old Testament route, and that plan of coming to God, he gave him very specific instructions. They are so specific that they will put you to sleep at night. If you find yourself wrestling with insomnia one night, just grab a warm glass of milk. Turn on your nightlight and open the book of Deuteronomy. And there, the Word of God will rock you to sleep as you read of the snuff dishes, and you read of the pans, and you read of the dimensions and the cubits and the hands' breadths. Glory to God. You can get lost in the minutia, but the big picture is God was very specific about his salvation. Amen. And so I have a sure salvation today. Peter said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, not a few of you, when you get around to it, not just a few over here or there if you feel it, but every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If you lay John 3:5 over the top of Acts 2:38, you'll find out that born of the water is baptized in the name of Jesus. And born of the Spirit is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Hallelujah. It's not, see, the devil wants to take this gospel and he wants to water it down to the point where it doesn't mean what it says. Amen. The Bible describes it like this. He said that in the spirit, John the Revelator saw a great dragon, and he cast out water out of his mouth like a flood to carry away the woman and her child. And there is a watering down of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the devil saw that he couldn't destroy the church, and he saw that he couldn't destroy the gospel, when he saw that lions' dens couldn't kill it, fiery furnaces couldn't kill it, burning them at the stake couldn't kill them, throwing them to the lions couldn't kill them, imprisoning them and mocking them and scourging them couldn't kill it, crucifying them couldn't kill it, sawing them asunder. And I know it's a terrible sight in your mind, it's a terrible mental image, but the Bible says they were sawn asunder and it couldn't kill it. When the devil couldn't kill it by violence, he said, if I can't kill it by violence, I'll corrupt it. So he sent out water out of his mouth like a flood. And so now we have churches on every corner. We have different flavors. We have different ideologies. We have different doctrines. It's like Burger King. It's have it your way. If you don't like one, you go to the next. And you just keep on hopping until you find something that suits you. And you know, a lot of people, their criteria for a good gospel is whether or not the church has a good youth group. They got a nice big youth group. My kids are involved, so that's the church I'll go to. And they talk about Jesus. That's their criteria. Or, man, they got a good music program. That music director can sing. And so they'll go to that church because of a good music. They got a choir, and they'll let me sing. I might even get a solo. And they'll go to that church, and that's their criteria. Or perhaps they have a lot of pretty women in that church, and a young man, an enterprising, opportunistic young man, will say, well, I'm going to go to that church because I'm looking for somebody to spend my life with, or vice versa. Some women can do it too. And they'll go, and that's their criteria. Or maybe there's an alcoholics recovery or a drug recovery, and the world and denominational religion has figured out that if I can get people busy and get them plugged in, then they'll come to church. And the problem with that is that you're not creating saints, you're creating busy sinners. Amen. I'm not here to have occupied sin. I'm not here so somebody's body can be here. I'm here so that my heart can be changed. I'm here that my spirit can be transformed. I'm here so that he could fill me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And hallelujah. I'm here to obey the gospel. I'm here to enter into the kingdom of God. I'm here to be born of the water and born of the Spirit. It is the only saving message. It's the word that saves us. It's the word of God, the preached word of God, the book of Acts template that saves a man or a woman. And the Bible calls it the power of God unto salvation. Now, the devil will fight you all the way to your experience with God. If he can get you to not pursue it, if he can get you to lay it aside, if he can't stop you from pursuing it, then he'll try to get you to compromise it. He'll try to infiltrate what you're doing to get you anything to keep you from salvation. You'll see it as Pharaoh deals with Moses. Pharaoh gets the message, let my people go. He sees Moses. He hears his message. He immediately recognizes what he's trying to do. You're trying to save these people. I don't know your God. I don't know anything about you. He even says, who is this God? I don't know who this is. So he begins to resist Moses. He pulls out all manner of tricks. The Bible says that one of the first things he did was he took away the straw from the people so that they could not make bricks. The straw was what held it together. They would mix straw and clay. And so now, left with only clay, the job was twice as hard. There was no mesh to hold it together. There was nothing for the clay to grip onto. And so Pharaoh's first thing he did was to make things harder so that they would blame Moses. I'll tell you right now that oftentimes when you're coming out of sin, it's going to get tougher before it gets better. It's a ploy designed to get you to reject the word of God. It's designed to get you to walk away from the power of God's church. Listen, if you're going to get off of the devil's dope, you're going to have to go through detox. You don't realize how bad you are until you try to come off of what he's doing. Amen. He'll take away the straw. He'll take away the stuff he's been giving you, and you're going to find out how addicted to it you really were. And you might mistake that as a trial. That's not a trial. You're just getting him out of your system. You're weaning off of his plan. You're weaning off of his program. It might get worse before it gets better, but that's all right. You keep on going, because I would rather live with God. I would rather have the promises of God than the pleasures of sin that I find in Egypt. Hallelujah. I'd rather get off of what he's selling and get on to what God has for me. All right, let me just bring it home here for you for a second. If you decide to stop living in sin, you're going to have to pay the price. You don't realize how addicted you are until you try to stop. Most folks don't realize how addicted they are to caffeine until... I'm not saying caffeine's a sin. I like a good cup of coffee, but there is a point you can get to where it controls you. Don't want that. And I've gone. I remember one day I just didn't drink coffee, and I just went through the day, and I got a headache in the afternoon. I thought, man, where's this headache coming from? And then later on, I just happened to get a cup of coffee, and boom, headache went away. And I went, uh-oh, that ain't good. You can get more hooked than you think you are. There are people that when you come to God, the devil will take away your straw. He'll take away the stuff that was holding it together. But listen, you got to make up in your mind, you know what? He may be helping me get along, but it's still the life of a slave. I'm still under his control. And going along to get along is not an option. I've got to be set free. I'll take whatever heartache comes with it. I'll go through every hardship that comes along with it. When you try to leave your boyfriend and you find out that the financial support's not there anymore, you keep on coming to church. You tell Pharaoh, you can take away the money, you can take away the straw, you can take away anything you want to take away, but I'm not going back to Egypt. I've got the hand of God. I've heard the voice of God, and I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. You got to learn to tell your dealer, I'm getting off of that stuff. I'm not smoking it. I'm not snorting it. I'm not puffing it. I'm not shooting it. I'm going to feel like I'm dying, but I'm not dying. I'm just coming off of what Pharaoh's been holding me captive with.
If he can get you to say it's too hard, I can remember a young man coming to me and saying, Brother Urshan, I don't know about this living for God stuff. Man, ever since I got that Holy Ghost thing, all hell broke loose. Ever since I told my family I got baptized in Jesus' name, bad stuff started happening. People started noticing that I looked different, and they're starting to make comments about me. I'm tempted to go back because I'm having a hard time. Bad things have happened since I got saved. And I sat there. I realized where they were at. Pharaoh was trying to intimidate them into going back. If I can demonize the man of God, if I can get you thinking the man of God is your problem, if I can get you thinking that it's not worth it to serve the Lord, I might as well just stay in Egypt, then Pharaoh has you right where he wants you. I look back at that young man. I said, Brother, things didn't get worse since you got the Holy Ghost. You just had your head in the sand. The battle didn't begin when you got the Holy Ghost. The battle began back at the beginning when there was war in heaven and the dragon fought and against the angels, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. They were cast out. There's been a war going on a whole long time, and my grandfather fought that war, and my great-grandfather fought that war, and Peter, James, and John fought that war, and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob fought that war, and you're just now waking up to the battle didn't start with you. The battle's been raging. The question is, are you man enough to pull your head out of the sand and say, yes, it's ugly, but I'm going to serve God anyway. I'm going to go against the tide. I'm going to go against the flow. I'm in the gospel. I'm in the kingdom. It didn't get worse. You just woke up.
Amen. If the devil can't get you to turn back, if you keep pressing forward, then he's going to pull out Janice and Jambres. He's going to bring out the imitators. He's going to bring out the duplicators, the counterfeiters. He's going to bring out bootleg gospels, flea market gospels. Aha. I don't know how it is in Birmingham, but where I come from, they don't sell Louis Vuitton, they sell Larry Vuitton. And it ain't the same thing. I'm not interested in a gospel that isn't genuine. I'm not interested in the gospel that doesn't have the seal.
Hallelujah. It might cost more. It might be more expensive. But honey, it's of great value. It's worth selling everything you have and buying. It's, somebody needs to hear me right now. If you want the real thing, you got to sell everything you've got and you've got to pay the price. And then and only then are you going to have the genuine, the authentic, the thank you, Jesus. Janice and Jane Breeze came around the corners of the throne room. Moses began to perform the works of God, and they said, we can do that too. They began to imitate. They withstood Moses. And there will be people who will come to you and will imitate. They will tell you, you don't need to go to that church. You can go to this church. And they will tell you that you don't need to live like that. You can live like you want to live. There are, Paul called them, he called it another gospel. Into the church at Corinth, he talked about another Jesus. See, I'm amazed at how many people don't know what the gospel is. I'm flabbergasted by it. If you go up to the average person and you say, what is the gospel? They'll give you 1,000 different answers. The devil loves to keep it ambiguous. Oh, the devil loves people who will take other people's word for the gospel. He hates people who read it for themselves. If you want to make the devil happy, don't read your Bible. If you want to make the devil happy, believe what Deacon No Good tells you. That might be a little too plain for some folks. I don't know. But I've just seen enough Janice and Jane Breeze to know that they will try to keep you captive. They'll try to lock you down. They'll try to imitate. They'll try to duplicate. They'll bring another gospel and they'll bring another Jesus that cannot save, that cannot deliver. And it's designed to keep you in Egypt. The gospel, if you ask a person about it, many will say, it's the good news. And it is. It is the good news. But that's kind of a vague, okay, what do we do with that? Because the Bible doesn't just say that it's the power of God to salvation. It also says that we're supposed to obey the gospel. It says in the book of 2 Thessalonians that the wrath of God is revealed against them that obey not the gospel. How do I obey the good news? So the devil likes to keep it ambiguous. He likes to just keep it floating out there and just kind of disconnected and not really making much of an impact. Just don't ask too many questions. If you start asking questions, then you start stirring the pot. I had a friend of mine who was in a denominational church, and he went to his pastor and he said, man, you told me that when I accepted Jesus that I was saved, but what am I reading in the book of Acts? And the pastor said, you don't want to go in the book of Acts. Well, why? Well, now you're asking questions. Well, because it's not for us today. Well, why did I read that it says that it's unto you and it's to your children and it's to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call? And why would God pour out the gift of the Holy Ghost on one generation and tell everybody else you can't have it? And if that's true, why is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? What are you doing? You're starting to look into Janice and Jane Bree's bag of tricks. You're starting to push back behind the curtain and see Oz manipulating the levers. You're starting to see that there's a game behind here and the devil's trying to lock you down so that you can't figure out that you're trying to get out of this thing, that you want to be saved. You don't want religion. You don't want denomination. You want the power of God unto salvation. And there is no religion and there is no denomination that's going to stop me from the word of God. Hallelujah. Ha! Man, we live in a world that needs the gospel. Man, we don't need a watered-down gospel. We don't need an ineffective. Hey, the devil's not pulling punches. The church better not be pulling punches. Let me try to get it across. It's the most radical, life-transforming experience. It will turn you inside out. It will turn you upside down. You will be sweating, hollering. You might fall out on the floor when the Holy Ghost gets done with you. Your bobby pins might be all over the place. Your tie might be unloosed, and you will be delivered. Hallelujah. God's going to cast out devils out of people. God's going to set people free. God is going to break. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And we're living in a world where the devil pulls no punches. If you want your teenagers to have deliverance and victory in 2014, you're going to need a gospel that can save to the uttermost. We're living in a world where Beyonce tells young ladies that they have to be sensual to be beautiful. Jay-Z is doing his thing. Katy Perry is doing her thing. And the world pumps out their entertainment model, and people think that's the way you're supposed to live. Religion's not going to be effective against that. You can't come in and say a sinner's prayer and expect to have victory in the face of that kind of demonic activity. But you gotta have a preacher that'll get red in the face, and a church that can call down fire from heaven, and a choir that knows how to get in touch with the Holy Ghost, and a Holy Ghost that can break the shackles, that can kick open the prison doors and say, let my son go, let my daughter go. You gotta have something that can break that hold. The stained glass ain't gonna do it. You need the Holy Ghost. The ritual's not gonna do it. You need the Holy Ghost. You don't need to drink holy water. You need to drink living water. Hallelujah. So God begins to reveal his power. He begins to demonstrate his power. And here's the deal. Pharaoh would go along as far as he had to. God has a lot of powers. Has a lot of powers. And if the devil can't stop you with the straw and the clay, and if he can't stop you with Janice and Jambres, if you pierce the illusion of the false teacher, and just let me tell you something about the false. You got to stick around long enough to let the authentic be made manifest, because they were able to duplicate water turning to blood. They were able to duplicate frogs. I always get this picture of a shoebox with a few frogs caught, and Janice and Jambres letting it go behind the throne, and frogs jumping out, and see, we produce frogs. I always wondered if they just sprinkle a little red dye, number 5, that same stuff that's in red soda, if they just sprinkle that. Look, we turn water to blood right there. I don't know how they produced it, but they did. They pulled rabbits out of hats. They kept the people fooled. They were able to duplicate to a point. They were able to throw down their rods, and they became serpents. But you got to stick around long enough. Hallelujah. Because while Pharaoh is fighting Moses, and Moses is wrestling with Janice and Jambres off in the corner, Moses' snake is devouring their snakes. Later on, Moses picked his staff back up. Janice and Jambres are looking for theirs. You got to stick around long enough to show the superiority of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because there's going to come a point in your walk with God where the devil can't imitate. Where the devil can't do it. When it gets down, oh man. I mean, they can put a pulpit up there, and they can preach a message, and they can, they might even be able to give you some goosebumps. They might be able to put a choir together, and they might be able to sing Amazing Grace, and they can have a building. They can do all of that, but they can't get down to the fine point. The Bible said that when the lice came, when they brought something so infinitesimally small, there was no way to duplicate it. There was no magician store where you could get that trick from. There was no way to reproduce it in a human way. Only the finger of God could produce that kind of a thing. And Janice and Jambres stepped back and said, "We can't duplicate this. This is the finger of God." I'm telling you, the devil can't duplicate the real thing. He can only go so far. Let me say it like this. The devil can't produce a clean young person. He can't wash your mind. He can't create genuine innocence. Stick around long enough. Stick around long enough. Stick around long enough to see a young man stay full of the Holy Ghost and resist pornography and resist the world and resist temptation. Stick around long enough to see a young lady grow up in the grace and the discretion of the Holy Ghost. The devil can't duplicate that. Praise God. This is literally what the gospel is. The Bible, because people don't know. They think it's the good news. Or they'll say it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You've heard that, right? Oh, the gospel is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's true in a sense. Well, it's the life and the death of Jesus Christ. Well, we're getting closer. And these are all ideas, and these are all promoted and taught, and they're good in to a degree. But you need to know what the Bible says. It spells out the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. Write it down. Read it when you get home. Paul said, "I'm giving you what was delivered to me, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and he was buried. And he rose again. This is the gospel that saves. This is the gospel wherein you stand." He spells out the gospel. God will spell out your salvation. He'll tell you exactly what it is. It's not just a feel. Well, how do you know you're saved? Well, I got a feeling. Well, how do you know that you're God's child? Well, peace came over me. Well, none of those things are the biblical description of what happens when someone obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ. Simon the sorcerer was a warlock. He was a witch, a male witch. And the Bible says he was baptized, and it says he believed, but it never says he got the Holy Ghost. A man must be born of the water and of the Spirit to enter into the kingdom of God. There is a power to the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ died and he was buried and he rose again. And the way I obey the gospel is I die when I repent of my sins and I get buried. The Bible says buried with him by baptism into death. I want you to note it doesn't say buried with them. It doesn't say I'm buried with them. That's why I'm not baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I know that the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Jesus. And there's power in the name of Jesus. And when you get baptized in the name of Jesus, the same death that Jesus died is that you identify in that death. You get buried with him. The devil gets you all confused. He spewed water out of his mouth to water down this gospel. And now there's 1,000 different belief systems. And who knows what in the world is right? You got to find a preacher that preaches the truth. You got to find a church that believes the gospel. Open up your Bible and use your eyeballs that God gave you. Use your brain that God gave you. Look into the book of Acts and see that they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We told a woman one time. We were witnessing to her. We were knocking on doors. And we said, "You need to repent and be baptized."
And when we say baptized, we mean to go all the way under the water. Not just sprinkled, but all the way under the water. Because it's a burial, see? And it needs to be done in the name of Jesus. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you'll speak with other tongues. And she said, oh, I can't do any of that. That sounds like the devil. I said, ma'am, how is that the devil? I don't know. It just scares me. My mom didn't do it like that. My grandma didn't do it like that. I said, but Peter did it like that. James did it like that. I looked past her shoulder and I could see a little statue of Mary inside of her house. I said, Mary, the mother of Jesus, did it like that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, I don't think you can get any more holy than Mary in an Old Testament dynamic. You can't. I mean, how many people on the planet Earth have an angel show up and say the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you and you're going to have a child and that which is conceived in you is of the Holy Ghost. Blessed art thou, Mary, highly favored. And how many people, I can answer that question, one. Nobody else, Mary did that. If there's anybody that had a chance to say, I got the Holy Ghost, it would have been Mary. But yet you see Mary on the day of Pentecost, and she was baptized in the name of Jesus, and she got the gift of the Holy Ghost, and she spoke with other tongues. You don't get any more selective than Mary, but there's Mary obeying the gospel of... Oh, it's a great gospel. It's the power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. You read your Bible long enough, it's going to do flip-flops on the inside of you. You're not, see, after a while, you start recognizing the voice of the shepherd. And when somebody starts talking about that Bible and it doesn't match what you're reading, you're going to say, mm-mm. I respect you, brother, but, and I love you, mom, but that's a different voice. When you find somebody that preaches it like the Word of God says it, something inside of you says, amen. That the Bible says his promises are yea and amen. The yea is when the preacher preaches. The amen is when the witness is received in the person. Oh, yeah, I read that. Oh, yes, that's right. I know where that's where the Holy Ghost is leading me. Oh, hallelujah. If you can push past the artifice, if you can push past the facade, I believe in pushing past the illusion. Janice and Jane Breeze will lock you. There are people that will be locked down in witchcraft the rest of their life in the name of Christianity. And it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all, the Bible describes, that calls it cunningly devised fables. I had a friend of mine who he went to Disney World. And when he went to Disney World, he saw the Magic Kingdom. He saw Peter Pan. He saw Cinderella, the wicked stepsisters. He saw them try to fit their big foot into that little glass shoe. And everything was the Magic Kingdom. Cinderella just floated around daintily, taking pictures and posing. Her hair looked like a wig. But we're in the Magic Kingdom. And my friend's a skeptic. And he was just watching all this Walt Disney. And, you know, it's great for little kids. And little kids, yeah, it's a small world and all that. And they got done, and there was fireworks. And Cinderella and Mickey and everybody's dancing. And then it was over. And so as people are filing out the gate, he just was kind of wandering around, and he gets behind the Magic Kingdom. And when he walks around the back, he sees Cinderella, and she's leaned up against the post. She's got a cigarette out. And Mickey was there, and his head was off, and he was Hispanic. I'm not English. Y'all didn't know Mickey came from Latin America.
See, there's an image that people will portray in this life. Nobody wants to think about Cinderella smoking a cigarette. But there, see, you got to get behind the scenes and you got to see what's really happening and what the reality of the situation is. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the devil wants to keep you on the outside. He wants to keep you on the perimeter. He wants to keep you on the fringe. You've got to dig a little deeper. You've got to get past the facade. You got to get past the artifice. You got to get into the Word of God. You got, the Bible says that you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. I need a gospel that can save me. And hey, people are leaving religion in the droves. They're going to concerts. They are so hungry for something that will impact them. They're inserting things into their skin and cutting themselves, and they've pierced everything that they can pierce, all for sensation. Also, they can feel something. They'll get high. They'll get low. They'll drink it. They'll smoke it. They'll sleep with it. They'll do whatever they can to get whatever feeling that they can. And it's because there's a gospel that has not reached them. There's a Jesus that has not been. As a matter of fact, they hate the fake Jesus. There's rock singers that are making a lot of money coming against what they call Jesus, and they mock him and they play all kinds of games, and it's a horrible travesty. It's an abomination. But they're not really hating the real Jesus. They're hating the religion that has masqueraded as Jesus. They're tired of the hypocrisy. They're tired of the game. They're tired of something that doesn't really change them. They need a gospel that has actual power. They need something that can actually get their hands on and can save them and can wash them and can clean their heart out and can fill them with the rejuvenation of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to close, but I want to wrap up here. Amen. The devil will give you certain powers if you keep pressing. Moses showed power at the Red Sea. Rather, at turning the waters to blood, he showed power. And Pharaoh couldn't deny the power. And the devil will allow certain powers of God. God has many powers. And the religious world will give you certain powers. They'll let you talk about the power of healing, because that's the power of God. And they'll say, yes, God's a healer. And they'll agree with you, because he'll give you the power of healing if you press hard enough. You'll find books on healing, on supernatural things. You'll find televangelists blowing on people. They'll take their suit coat off and throw it at you. They'll wave their hand and the whole side of the congregation will fall down. I've always been a little suspect of that myself. But the devil will give you healing, because the devil knows something. He knows something. One of the things he knows is that you can go to hell whole. If you force him into admitting that God's a healer, he'll give it to you, because he knows that it's not an end game. He knows it's not the end. He knows he can still corrupt you. He knows he can still get a grip on you. He knows he can still destroy your life. He can still make you backslide. There have been people that have been healed that lost out with God. Hallelujah. Moses came out, he turns water to blood, he brings frogs, he brings flies, he brings lice, he brings boils. There's powers of God that the devil will give you. He backs up by degrees. He gives ground by degrees if you keep pressing. And if he has to, he'll give you powers. He'll allow powers of God into your life as you gain revelation. You have got to make up in your mind, I'm not interested in a little bit of God. I'm not interested in a portion of God. I'm not interested in partial salvation and partial deliverance. I'm interested in the whole enchilada. Amen. Paul said, I have not shunned to proclaim to you the whole counsel of God. I don't want just a little bit of salvation. I want the whole thing. I want to be saved down here. I want to be saved up there. I want to be saved to the uttermost. And he would tell Moses, he would say, hey, I'll let you go, but just come back. I'll let you go offer sacrifice, but just as long as you just come back. See, the devil's interested in you coming back. He's interested in keeping you in Egypt. And these powers of God keep being revealed. The devil will let you have financial prosperity. He'll let you have it. as God be, and God will do it. God's word is good. You'll find books on how to step out on faith. Be blessed right now. Oh, glory. Now is your time. It's time to make money for Jesus. There's people that will preach a prosperity gospel. And there is a truth to it. There is a truth to God's prosperity. He does bless Abraham's children. He does, but it's not all about money. But the devil will give you those things. There'll be books in stores. There'll be preachers that talk about it. The devil will give you marital counsel. If you keep pushing, he'll talk about families and he'll talk about all these things. These are all natural, temporal things and they're powers of God. But it's possible to have a whole family and never make it to heaven. It's possible to do that. These are all powers of God. You know where the devil's going to kick up a fuss? Where the devil's going to fight you with everything he's got? It's when it comes to the power of God unto salvation. When it comes to that, it's a whole nother thing. He'll give you all that other stuff. But when you start getting out of Egypt, when you start actually walking out of his control, when you start saying, I'm never coming back again, I'll tell you where the devil's going to fight you. He's going to fight you when you come to the water. Hallelujah. When you get to the water, all of Pharaoh's army's coming after you, brother. Honey, when you get to baptism in Jesus' name, the devil's going to come out. He's going to bring out the captains. He's going to bring out the warlords. He's going to bring out the infantry. He's going to bring out the cavalry. He's going to bring out the archers. He's going to bring out everything he has, because now you're talking about salvation. Now you're not talking about prosperity. You're not talking about healing. You're talking about the fact that you're getting out of my jurisdiction. You're getting out of my kingdom. You're actually getting away from me, and I can't let you do it. I'm going to bring up your relatives. I'm going to bring up backsliders. I'm going to bring up everybody I can to stop you from going through the water. If he don't want you getting through that water. He didn't want them getting through that Red Sea. That Red Sea was a barrier. That Red Sea was a dividing line. He doesn't want you getting the water, and he doesn't want you getting the Holy Ghost. You ever read in the Bible where they were baptized of Moses in the cloud and in the sea? They were baptized of Moses in the cloud and in the Pharaoh didn't show up in force like that until they got to the water and they got to the cloud. Then all the fun and games are over. I can't let you through that water. I can't let you into that cloud. Because if I do that, I can't bring you back again. You pass the point of no return. You leave my geographical authority. And I've got to do everything in my power to keep you out of this. This is when the backsliders try to talk you out of getting baptized in Jesus' name. This is when people tell you, you don't need the Holy Ghost like that. When you get the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues, people are going to look at you sideways, because it's the power of God unto salvation. Unto salvation, where God puts his spirit into your heart and you begin to speak another language that doesn't come from your brain. It doesn't come from your intellect and from your thinking. It comes from God's throne. I'm going to close here in just a second, but I'm going to get this point across. There is nothing like the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is nothing that'll break sin's hold like the power of the Holy Ghost. I wish people would approach Jesus like they approach their football games, and like they approach their entertainment, and like they approach their rock concert or hip-hop concert, where people lose their minds for the devil, but they don't want to lose their minds for Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're going to fight that spirit, you're going to have a gospel that can reach down into the deepest pit. You're going to have something that can grab a hold of your teenage boy and fill him with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about him laying on the floor, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. If you want a Book of Acts experience, that's what it requires. The devil's going to tell you that you've lost your mind. The devil's going to tell you that you are crazy. You're not crazy. I'm not ashamed of the power of God, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed. It is the power of God unto salvation. Stand with me this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want somebody to lift your hands right now in this place. Right where you're at, I want you to lift your hands. I want you to entertain that Spirit of God. Somebody reach out and say, I want that. If you've already got it, I want you to lift your hands and say, Lord, help me to share this. Empower me by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Bible says you'll speak with other tongues. This is a power of God that saves. This is where the devil's going to fight you. Right now, all over this building, lift up your hands. I want some young men to lift up their hands. I want some young ladies to lift up your hands and lift up your voice. Hallelujah. I'm looking for something, preacher. There are some that came this morning. You came from other churches. You're looking. You're searching. You're trying to find. I want you to lift your hands and say, I want this Holy Ghost. I want this Holy Ghost. I want to go through this water. I want to go into this cloud. I want to come out of Egypt. I want to come out. I want to come out. I want to come out. Hallelujah. How there's a power of God to salvation. I don't want to be limited in his powers. I don't want a partial view of the living God. I want everything, Brother Urshan. That's it right now. Right now, I want you to lift up your voice. Hallelujah. I want you to create an atmosphere in this place right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost rest upon you right now. As you lift up your voice, the Holy Ghost is coming on you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, let this gospel sink down into my spirit. Hallelujah. Let this gospel sink down. I can feel it right now. It's starting in the back and it's moving its way towards the front. It's starting from the right and it's moving to the left. Mary got it. Peter got it. James got it. John got it. It's the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. That's it. Lift up your voice right now. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. God said, open your mouth and I will fill it. Hallelujah. Open your mouth and I will fill it. Somebody open your mouth and the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. Somebody make a decision to be baptized in the name of Jesus. The only saving name that can save a man, that can save a woman. Hallelujah. I know you can feel it. I can feel it moving on you. I want you to step out of your seat. Come. Lift your hands. Grab somebody next to you. Help them pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Young men, get this gospel down in your spirit. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right, there's a spirit of expectancy here right now. I know you can feel that. It's right underneath the surface. They're getting ready to sing. They're getting ready to lead in worship. But I can feel it starting to boil on the inside of people right now. Hallelujah. I want you to open up your mouth and begin to call on the name of Jesus. Like the day of Pentecost. I want you to begin to call on the name of Jesus. There's a groundswell. There's something down on the inside of people. I want you to begin to give him glory and begin to give him praise. I want somebody to lift up your hands right now and let God begin to speak through you. That's it. Right there. It starts down in your feet and it moves its way up into your knees. It'll get into your backbone. It'll get into your hands and into your shoulders. It'll come up out of your mouth. I want somebody to begin to speak. I want somebody to begin to speak faith. Somebody to begin to speak promises. Somebody begin to give. Hallelujah. Right now. Now lift your voice. All over this building, lift your voice. That's it. That's the Holy Ghost right there. In the name of Jesus, let it fall. In the name of Jesus, let it fall on you right now. Somebody walk into the cloud. Somebody walk into the cloud in the name of Jesus. Go. Go. Speak it. Speak it. Jesus. Somebody speak his name. By the power of the Word of God and the authority of the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. Honey, I know you feel that. In the the name of Jesus.
That's power in the name of
Jesus.
Salvation in the name of
Jesus.
There's healing in the name of
Jesus.
Everything I need. Deliverance in the name of
Jesus.
There's freedom in the name of
Jesus.
Salvation in the name of
Jesus.
That's the
everything
of God.
I need
in the name power in the name of
Jesus.
Salvation in the name of
Jesus.
All there's healing in the name of
Jesus.
Everything I need.
Deliverance in the name of
Jesus.
There's freedom in the name of
Jesus.
Salvation in the name of
Jesus. Everything I need.
Power in the name of
Jesus.
Salvation in the name of
Jesus.
There's healing in the name of
Jesus.
Everything I need.
Deliverance in the name of
Jesus.
There's freedom in the name of
Jesus.
All salvation in the name
of
Jesus. Everything I need.
Power in the name of
Jesus.
Salvation in the name of
Jesus.
There's freedom in the name of protection in the name of
Jesus.
Deliverance in the name of
Jesus.
Freedom in the name of
Jesus. Everything I need is in that name.
I wish I would have known.
About the cross, your blood, your tears, your love, you did this for me. Wishing I would have been told about how you love me.
Hallelujah.
So I'll stand and testify.
I'm gonna stand and testify.
I'm the one who saved
my life.
That's it. Somebody call on his name. Somebody call on his name. Somebody call on his name.
Everything I need is in
there's power in the name of
Jesus.
Salvation in the name of
Jesus.
Oh, healing in the name of
Jesus.
known
about the cross of blood. Your tears, your love, you did this for me.
I went home for so long,
wishing I would hug and talk about how you love me.
Stand.
I'll stand and testify.
I'm gonna testify. Yeah.
You're the one who saved my
ooh, yeah,
life. Nobody greater than that.
Somebody lift your hands. Somebody lift your hands. As they sing, somebody lift your voice. Hallelujah. Let His Spirit move. Let His Spirit move. Move through me, Jesus. Somebody call on that name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's love Him. Let's love Him. Let's love Him. Let's love Him.
Salvation.
Hey,
healing in the name.